His name is Richard Warshee Jr. Maybe that doesn't ring a bell. Well, then try the name that the media slapped on him when he got a life sentence at the age of 17. That's after police busted him with 17 pounds of cocaine. The nickname, White Boy Rick. It stuck. That was 1988. There are many unanswered questions about how Warshee got into dealing drugs and why he's still in prison, even though the law he was convicted under is no longer on the books. And now Hollywood's come calling. A casting call is being held Saturday in Ferndale. Movie producers are hoping to find an unknown from Michigan to play the baby-faced drug kingpin. Scott Bernstein is an organized crime historian, a writer for the Oakland Press, and he has known Warshee for almost a decade. Stateside host Cynthia Canty spoke with Scott about recent developments in the ongoing up-and-down story of White Boy Rick.
Good to have you with us, Scott.
Thank you, Cynthia, for having me.
Take us back to before 1988, when Rick Warshee Jr. was tried and he was sentenced to life without parole. Take us back to his life to the point when all that happened.
He was a force of nature in the Detroit media. The press fell in love with him in the same way that Hollywood has seemed to have fallen in love with him recently. And there's a feeding frenzy to bring his story to the big screen, in some ways akin to the way the media was like a moth to a flame drawn to him in the 1980s when he was a 16-year-old dating the mayor's niece who was 24, had risen higher than anyone ever his age or his skin color in the Detroit underworld. And he was someone that had a very flashy demeanor, a lot of swagger, was magnetic. All of those factors kind of combined to make it, you know, kind of a firestorm of activity and kind of catapult him into the annals of pop culture. He's become iconic in Detroit. It was so prevalent in 1987, 1988. He got so much play that I remembered it as a kid, not even paying attention to it, just seeing it in the background. He is, for better and for worse, has become kind of the picture of Detroit in that very dark period of the 80s and the crack era.
The Young Boys and it's Incorporated.
And it's ironic because even though he had this giant public image, when you actually break down what he did, the level that he was actually moving at in terms of weight, in terms of drugs, it was very, very meager compared to everyone else that no one knows about. I would guess that in his whole career, he probably sold less than, I'd say, between 50 and 100 kilos. And we're talking about other dealers that were caught bringing in 100 kilos in a week.
How did he get started? And I know you've been involved in
kind of... I'm kind of proud in the fact that I think I broke open the second half of the story. So the first half of the White Boy Rick story is what we just told you. Mm-hmm. But the second half of the story, which no one really knew and had never really been confirmed until the late 2000s when I kind of pushed the agenda and got to know him and got him to open up to me about the whole fiasco. He was literally recruited out of eighth grade as a 14-year-old kid and told to drop out of high school. He spent about 2 or 3 weeks at Detroit Denby. He was recruited by a federal task force made up of the FBI, DEA, and DPD and recruited to become a paid government mole, an undercover operative, and put into the drug underworld at 14 and was paid for the next 2 years, encouraged to drop out of high school. He dropped out of high school and infiltrate drug gangs. It was like a Frankenstein. They didn't realize what they had built. He was so good at it that he rose higher than they ever expected.
You know, there's a lot of people listening going, what, 14, drop out of high school, recruited? I mean,
and this has all been confirmed by DEA and FBI documents and by several federal employees that were his contacts. It's funny how there was a group of people that were dealing with him at that age, and they're kind of split. Half of them really don't care and hope he rots, and the other half feel immense guilt for what they did and are coming forward and talking about it.
Some of them didn't even know he was still in prison, did they?
Well, I don't know if some of those people didn't know he was in prison, but a lot of people don't know he's in prison. I mean, I mentioned his name to a lot of people. Oh, yeah, how's he doing now? What's he doing? When did he get out? He's 46 years old. He hasn't seen freedom since Ronald Reagan was president. It's ridiculous at this point. And the politicians in Michigan, you know, they don't want to do anything about it.
Well, let me go back. What do you think caused Rick Warshee to go from someone that the police recruited and saw as a helper to someone that became a problem and they wanted to put away badly?
Well, he cut off his relationship with the government when he was 16. And then between 16 and 17, he actually became a non-government funded drug dealer. It's very complicated. The relationship with Coleman Young's niece played into it. He was tied into political chicanery. He eventually helped take down the biggest corrupt Detroit police bust. He was central in the biggest corrupt cop bust in DPD history that went down, I believe, in 93. That's when he went behind bars and started cooperating again, cooperated for another 12 years, helped them build dozens of cases, and still that can't get him out. And then there was specifically a murder that occurred in 1985 when he was undercover that's tied to a possible payoff by Gil Hill to get the murder charges tossed.
Who, of course, says that never happened.
Yeah, he says that never happened. Yes. But it's been, you know, publicly discussed by the Detroit News. This is not a mm-hmm. the first time mm-hmm. allegation. It was a 12-year-old boy that was accidentally killed in a drive-by that was intended for his uncle, who was a drug dealer and a rival of the drug dealer that Rick had been paid to infiltrate his operation. And Rick gave the information of who perpetrated the crime to the FBI. And then Rick was present when certain phone calls were made and payoffs were given between the drug dealer and allegedly Gil Hill.
Here he is, sentenced as a minor to life in prison. And the judge's comment was, you're worse than a mass murderer.
That comment was kind of representative of the time. Drugs had just really ravished America, and Detroit was hit probably harder than any city. Crack was so destructive, and the stories became such major parts of the narrative of that era that when you became the face of that, and that's what I'm saying, Rick became the face of drugs in the 80s. Whether or not that's fair, I don't know. I don't believe it is. But, you know, his personality really brought people in flocks following him, and that tilted his reputation up way past what his actual role was.
As we were saying, the law he was convicted under isn't even on the books anymore.
Yeah, it was tossed in 1998. He's the only person convicted under that law that's still in prison right now.
Why?
I think it has to do with the political agenda. I think it has to do with the fact, like I said, that he's the face of that era. It's an embarrassing era for the city. It's an era that brings a lot of shame, and people want someone to pay for it. And he's becoming the kind of the scapegoat for that entire era. The one good thing I see on the horizon, whether we're talking about politicians, the parole board, I don't think anyone's going to let him out. I think the way he gets out is this movie, whoever makes it. There's three power players in Hollywood mm-hmm. fighting over it. Whoever makes it, the story's going to go global. Hopefully it gets made soon, and maybe there could be enough of a groundswell and gets to the point where there's enough pressure put on people to let him out. But right now, you know, I don't believe the parole board has any intention of letting him out. The Wayne County prosecutor has gone on record that they believe that he should serve life in prison. It's really mind-boggling and head-scratching the vendetta that certain members of the Detroit establishment still hold against him right now, and a lot of it dating back to stuff that he did when he was 16 or 17. And I think what he said to me is the most profound thing he's ever said to me was that I'm Rick Wershe. I haven't been White Boy Rick since I was 16 years old, 17, but I have to pay for the sins of something I did when I was 16. And what he did was bad. He sold drugs. And he is someone who is incredibly remorseful and doesn't shun any of the responsibility. He owns it more than most I've ever encountered in that world. But he never was ever implicated in any violence. This was his only conviction. If certain people have their way, you know, he'll never get out.
And as you say, Scott, there are three films jockeying, kind of in the pipeline, one being developed by Universal Pictures, one in development by director Darren Aronofsky, and then a project from Studio 8 headed by Jeff Robinov, who's a former executive from Warner Brothers. So big-time Hollywood players interested in this story because?
It was only a matter of time. I mean, I was telling people that for years, and I was someone for a long time that I felt like I was kind of standing on a mountaintop here in Detroit, waving my hands like Tom Hanks in Castaway or something. Like, I have this amazing story. Yeah. Please come find it. Come rescue it. And, you know, it just took a while. But I knew, I was telling everyone, this is only a matter of time. And in a matter of 6 months, it's become the hottest property in Hollywood.
And what about the casting call? What can you tell us about that?
The casting call is from the Studio 8 project. The movie itself is being produced by John Lesher, who just won the Academy Award for Birdman. He is about to come out with the Johnny Depp, Whitey Bulger movie. Mm-hmm. So this is one of the biggest producers in Hollywood right now. And they want to cast an unknown to play Rick. They're looking locally. So this Saturday in Ferndale, I think it's called the Michigan Actors Studio.
It is. It's on Nine Mile.
Yep. You know, anyone that fits the profile, 14 to 19, you know, fair skin, baby-faced and kind of can carry themselves as someone that might be 15 or 16, but you know, maybe could act 20 or 25. I know some of the people that are making these movies, and I know all of them are talking to big, big names. We're talking major Hollywood heavyweights, you know, Academy Award-winning actors to be involved in it.
And again, that's this Saturday at the Michigan Actors Studio, which is on East 9 Mile Road between Hilton and Woodward in Ferndale, and also Pound Mooney Casting Company is actually handling that.
They're the Cadillac of casting in Detroit.
What hope does he have, do you think, ultimately, of being paroled? Personally, what is – you talk to Rick, you know him now. What is he holding in his
personally, he's not giving up hope in any way because he's someone that can keep his head up. At this point, I would have been so checked out if this was me. And he's someone that can keep hope in one regard. But he's someone that has, through the years, has really been able to temper any expectations. He's been disappointed so many times. When he went up for parole the first time in 2003, it got to the point where the Michigan Department of Corrections was already doing the requisite things to let him out, such as finding where he was going to stay and finding employment for him. And then at the last second, the rug got pulled out from underneath him. If people remember the 2003 hearing, Kid Rock actually showed up and sponsored, you know, his parole and said that he would actually employ him if they let Rick out. And so that was kind of like, I think from that point on, he's been very – because he thought he was walking out the door. He had a fiance. He thought that you know, he was going to get that second chance, and it didn't happen. And I think from that point on, he's been very not quick to think that he's walking out anytime soon. But he's been able to keep an incredible spirit.
But you know, people listening to us are going to say he was a drug dealer, he was a punk, he was a bad seed, and we're better off without him behind bars for good.
Well, how do I just – I'd like to think that anything that anyone does, you know, beyond taking someone's life at 17, 16 years old, you know, like I said, he says, you know, I pay for the way I acted when I was 16, 17. And I think anyone that would get that amount of money and power at 16, 17, it would be hard to keep a level head.
Yeah. Scott Bernstein is an organized crime historian, a writer for the Oakland Press, and someone who has gotten to know white boy Rick Wershe, who is still in prison and will be watching as all of this goes on. And again, the casting call for someone local to play Rick Wershe will be this Saturday at the Michigan Actors Studio in Ferndale. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Cynthia.